Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where branding gets practical, here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands, your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand. Folks, for those of you joining us for the first time, this show is about transitions and how the science and psychology of branding can help change your relationships for the better, your career or business for the better, your life for the better, so that you can become the brand you are truly meant to be. This is a call-in show, and it's your show where we want to hear from you. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, occasionally I'm going to have some callers who have asked to call in so that the full range of what we can do here on Brand Talk can be appreciated by you, or specific issues that I really think will get you thinking about concerning this, I think, exciting topic called branding. So if you are going through a transition, do you have any questions concerning a brand, your brand? I've been even getting into the territory that I promised that I wouldn't get into, but what the hey? I've been even dipping my toe in the political arena with a piece that I wrote for the Daily Caller, in which I talked about the Mitt Romney brand, which is the boring quality or the boring characteristic, and how that actually even made it work for him. And we'll talk a little bit about that post that I wrote. And not because I want to play partisan here. Let me tell you, and by the way, you're listening to WVOX 1460 on your AM dial, and you're listening to John Tantillo, and this is Brand Talk. And if you'd like to give us a call, we're at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. And as I was trying to say, my whole thing here and is to get my listeners to appreciate the importance of branding and use branding in every part of their professional and personal life. And that's a good lens to use, or a good model to use, to analyze what's in fact going on. And the problem when I dip my toe in the political arena is that people, depending on what persuasion you are, people get emotional when you mention a candidate by not looking objectively at the process. And the process that I talk about is marketing. I don't talk about the politics. I talk about the branding or the marketing component, and that always gets me into trouble. And by the way, If you really don't want to call, maybe you want to email me at doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. And you're listening to Brand Talk. We're here on WVOX 1460. And I just would love to hear any questions that you may have about anything on branding. And like I said, we're going to talk a little bit about my Daily Caller post, my winner and loser, which will be a lot of fun. And you can give us that call at 914-636-0110. The importance of being prepared is what I would like to start with. And I remember the first lecture I ever gave and the amount of time I put into that lecture. And I was a undergraduate, not at Hofstra and not at St. Francis College where I got my degree, but at the College of the Immaculate Conception. Yeah, I was a Franciscan brother at the time. And we had to do a presentation to the class, and I was nervous as all hay. And I prepared, and I went over the garage at the novitiate, and there was a classroom there, and with a chalkboard, and I actually practiced my delivery in this classroom. And it took about 8 hours. And some of you would say, you spent 8 hours for a 10-minute lecture? What are you, crazy? And my response is, I simply wanted to be prepared. And that's what I owed my students or customers at the time. And this is something that I have done ever since. And I think it shows. Hopefully, it shows on my part, but I know it shows when I see other people do it, which gets me to think about one of the most very, very dear friend who I had dinner with last night, and Judge Andrew Napolitano, and we went to this great restaurant on Houston Street. Now, I believe, now, I hope I'm not playing into any stereotype here, but I think that, you know, my surname is Italian. And I had the best meatballs in New York City at this place called Bellato's on Houston Street. And they were, God rest my mother's soul here. I think they're better than my mother's meatballs because my mother put garlic in them and there was no garlic in these meatballs. These were great meatballs. Anyway, getting back to our Andrew Napolitano and preparation, this man, I love listening to him when he's on Fox, either on his show Freedom Watch or when he's asked to give his take on any subject. And what I was very impressed with is when I have dinner with him, he tells me how much time he puts into the preparation of what you hear him say in the interview. And that's why it's so easy to follow him and why it makes so much sense. You know, it reminds me of the Goethe comment or the Goethe statement where he said, I am sorry for the long memo. I didn't have enough time to make a short one. In other words, the more one is prepared, the more succinct the point you can make, and you can really underscore any point you want to make known to the intended receiver of your message. And so for me, as a teacher, and that's my brand, I think that being prepared is an important characteristic that we owe anybody when we are in front of them, either making a sales call, whether or not we're making a presentation, whether or not we're giving them information. Being prepared is so very, very important. And this preparation, and it's one of those things, being prepared that, it's like 1 in 10 where people, or maybe even 1 in 20 where people will appreciate it. But I can remember being on the strategy room and I was, that's if those of you who don't know, it was a panel show, you wouldn't 4 or 5, people talking about any kind of topic that was top of the day. And of course, before I went on, I had all my notes for the different topics that I predict could be talked about. And I remember the moderator, Jamie Colby, saying on air, John Tantillo, you're always prepared when you come to our discussions. And coming from a pro like that, like Jamie Colby from Fox, that was such a compliment. And what a reinforcer to keep one going when you really are too tired to go to Google or to make that note or to think about saying it a little better. It's so really wonderful when everything does work and someone says, you know, you made a good point. And there's nothing more that I would like to reinforce today is whatever you do, I really believe that you, in fact, should be really well prepared. And so preparation is something that I cannot say too much more about, but it's something, it's a lot like dressing. You might say, what are you talking about, John? What the heck are you talking about? Because when you dress up, you're basically telling someone that you care enough to get dressed up. And in the same way, when you're prepared for that meeting, for that sales call, it says to the person that you care about them and that you've put the time in because it means that much to you. So I just can't say enough about practice is preparation and how preparation can, in fact, be a differentiating factor in your brand presentation. And what do you think about that? Why don't you give us a call at 914-636-0110. You're listening to Dr. John Tantillo on Brand Talk on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. Or why don't you give us an email, doc@brandtalkradio.com, doc@brandtalkradio.com. And before I forget, I like to just also remind you, if you like what we talk about here and you missed part of the show or you missed last week's show, you could go to brandtalkradio.com. brandtalkradio.com and get to the archived programs and listen to it. Now, for those, let me just let you know, I've gotten this from some friends and also for some listeners that they've had trouble. They say that the links aren't working. Well, it takes a little bit of time to download or to access either your Windows Media Player or your, in my case, my iTunes player. So be a little prepared. It might take about 2 or 3 minutes, and then all of a sudden it starts playing. So that's not a problem. So anyway, you can do that, and you can follow me on Twitter, Marketing Doctor, Facebook page. I have a Dr. John Tantillo page. If you want to get more personal, I have openings on my John Tantillo friend page. And then, of course, there's the Brand Talk page and the Marketing Doctor page. So there. And I'm also on LinkedIn. And next week, I'll tell you a little bit about how I think LinkedIn is incredible and why that is a personal experience. But I've got so much to talk about today. All good. And you're listening to Dr. John Tantillo, Brand Talk, WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. But you know, before prepping, and I did a lot of prepping this week, not that I don't do it every week, I'm always prepared, but for some reason this week it was chock full of interesting marketing stories, one of which was in the New York Times. I always read Stuart Elliott's section on advertising in the New York Times. And on the 17th, which was, I believe, yesterday. The headline reads, Brand Seeks to Make Child's Play of Cooking. And it seemed like an old brand favorite, Uncle Ben's, is doing a promotion targeted to 5 to 12-year-old children, where they are trying to engage them to cook with rice. And I think that is where advertising is going, folks. It's no longer build it and they will come. It's no longer going to the Super Bowl, running an ad, and sales are going to go through the roof. There's nothing magical here anymore. It is something that you must work hard at, and that's what Brand Talk is all about. It's about making you sensitive to the principles of marketing so that if you have a small business, if you're trying to promote yourself, you realize that one great event doesn't a brand make, or one great tactic or one great ad doesn't a tactic make. It takes a lot of time. It's called brand building. And what we like to talk about here on Brand Talk are those tactics and the strategy behind those things that are so important in building a brand. So here's an example of an established brand having an effect. And we have a caller on the line. Mr. Caller or Miss Caller, what's your name? What's your brand? Where are you from?
Hi, my name is Alden.
Alden, yes, Alden Blease, who is the president, chief executive officer of Roargasms. I never met you before in my life, have I?
Never, apparently.
No, that's not true. We know each other very, very well. And but I must say, I didn't ask Alden to call me today. He must have something on his mind. Alden, what's on your mind today?
Well, I've done some research with the university.
Yes. Wait a minute. Hold on, Alden. Now, for some of our listeners that might not be familiar with what you're doing, what is your company? I said it's Roargasms. What is Roargasms?
Roargasms is a company that manufactures and promotes its own products, which are healthy convenience foods.
Healthy convenience food. Okay, that's a very differentiating brand character. I love it. Go ahead.
Excellent. With what are known as superfood ingredients, which boost the nutritional value through the roof with vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, amino acids, and omega-3s and 6s. So these are the healthiest junk foods, in quotes, that are going to be available. So I did some testing with the branding at the University of Maine with a survey. I got a few results, and now I'm trying to use an online survey to get any more results.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering, what are good incentives for people on Facebook and other online networking tools to get people to take a survey?
Okay. When you're talking about incentives, you must talk about target market. So I take it it's young people. I take it it's college age guys and gals, 18 to 23. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. So my question is, what kind of items do they like? I would think that baseball caps have gotten enough baseball caps, but maybe frisbees. I don't know if they still do that. What is it that they like to do? From a product point of view, it might not be a bad idea of giving them, let's say, a dozen or six, a half dozen snacks that you're trying to promote, or products that you're trying to promote. so that what you're basically doing is getting them your it's an incentive, number one, and also you're getting the potential customer to get into the habit of eating the product. So maybe just giving the product itself. From a brand perspective, keychains, anything that you think that, it's been about 40 years since I've been in college. So I don't know what it is that the thing, they're doing. Maybe it's a mouse pad, but no, they're not using, most kids today are using the iPad. So there that goes. Maybe it's an iPad pen or wand that you could that they can use. I don't know whether or not that they would use that. That might be an older person. Yeah. So you're going to have to do a little bit of research and even research what it is that they do that they want. I'm talking too much, but what do you think?
I think that's a cool idea. My idea was to try to keep it maybe online, and so I was thinking about maybe making custom, like, name tags, kind of creating like allowing people to input something that a characteristic about themselves, like danger is my middle name type of thing, and creating name tags.
I love this. I got a potential here. What I think might be good is some sort of a stencil. And this, remember, this is being thought out without legal, you gotta run it by your legal team before you do something like this, or your marketing team. But one thing would be to have the Roargasms logo and something that they can that can be personalized by saying JT loves Roargasms, or JT loves the Roargasms cookie, or I'm a cookie too, or whatever they want to do. The problem with something like that, if what they can do is then download the stencil and put that stencil on a T-shirt. I mean, that's wonderful to be able to do something like that, where what you're doing is you're using beautiful is that you're promoting the brand and getting all of your customers to promote the brand by them seeing the other people seeing the brand, and that might be one way to go. The only problem is if some people want to get a little bit cute and do something that's a little vulgar, how do you prevent that from so you got to do some noodling about that. But from a quick and dirty perspective, I think you're onto something.
Excellent. Also, what is your thought on QR codes? Are they effective in this day and age to link a website or a Facebook page to something that's in the physical world? People will be able to like scan the QR code, but is it effective?
I don't know the data on that. I would have to get back to you on that. I have no idea whether or not it would be. Let me get back to you, but bring that up next week or the next time you call in, and I promise you I'll have the answer to that. That
all
fair?
Right. Sounds great.
Okay. Well, listen, Alden, I hope I answered some of your questions, and I hope I didn't hog the microphone too much. Because what I like to try to do is listen, and I hope I answered your questions.
It was awesome. Thank you so
much. Oh, thanks a lot. That makes me feel great. Thanks a lot there, Alden. And good luck, and please call anytime. You're listening. Thank you, Alden, for calling. You're listening to WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. This is Dr. John Tantillo, and it's Brand Talk. And why not do what Alden just did? He had a brand question about his business, and I think everybody and anybody today has questions concerning their business because it's tough out there. And with that in mind, this past Sunday, I went to a event, And a friend of mine is in PR. She said, you got to come to this event. You got to come to this event. It's by Cisco. And I said, oh, Cisco, geez, that's not going to be fun. It's software. I don't really want to do that. It's going to be so corporate. Not that Cisco's a bad company. Cisco's a great company. I love Cisco as a brand. It's just that, you know, attending one of those events was going to be, you know, root canal, I thought. So anyway, I get there. And was I surprised because it was, first of all, their retail division, and they came out with this new product called Style Me. And what it was is that they have this kiosk that would be in a mall, and you go to the Style Me, and let's say it's Brooks Brothers, you know, a Brooks, and by the way, Brooks Brothers doesn't have it. I'm just saying, we'll use Brooks Brothers. We'll use, let's say, a retailer, B&B, we'll call it. And what you do is you put your feet on the spaces that are available, and you touch whether or not you want to buy a suit, a sweater, and a jacket. You touch on that. They take a picture of your body, and they put you select what pattern you like, and you walk around with that new shirt on you. It's the best interactive thing I've ever seen, and it could be the savior to the brick and mortar stores. And I want to talk about that, my winner and loser, and I also want to talk about a totally new Did You Know That after the break.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Lissandra. The State Department recommending the Obama administration reject the controversial Keystone Pipeline.
The State Department press office emailed out a statement from the State Department spokeswoman, Victoria Nuland, saying that the State Department has recommended to President Obama, and he has concurred in this recommendation, that further consideration of this pipeline would not serve the national interest.
Fox's James Rosen. The pipeline would have run from Canada to Texas. Republicans had argued the project would create jobs. The first victim of the cruise ship that capsized off the coast of Tuscany identified.
Sandolfo Hare was a musician working on the cruise. As the ship began to sink, he went back to his cabin to pack his violin. He was already wearing a life jacket and was seen helping several children with theirs, but the 38-year-old from Hungary never made it to the life raft.
Fox Radio's Simon Owen. Fox News. We report, you decide.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Forecast Westchester County and the vicinity for this afternoon, partly to mostly sunny, windy conditions, early highs will climb close to 40, then fall 30s later this afternoon. Partly to mostly clear this evening, overnight lows dropping close to 20, mostly sunny highs into the middle 30s on Thursday, increasing clouds, could be some snow showers Thursday night, then becoming mostly sunny on Friday into the middle 30s, increasing clouds once again Friday evening, chance of some period of light snow on Saturday into the upper 30s, partly to mostly cloudy middle 40s Sunday. Steve Pelletieri Jr. reporting for WVOX Worldwide, WVIPHT.
35 degrees in New Rochelle.
Have ways of making you talk.
Talk and talk and talk.
WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
We're back. This is WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. This is Dr. John Tantillo, and it's Brand Talk. And at the break, we were talking about this exciting new savior to the brick and mortar stores, an interactive software package that I thought was pretty exciting. And for a New Yorker, folks, to get excited about something on a Sunday night, I tell you, it was really, really good. And the people were really excited about it. And as I said, what you basically did is you placed your feet on this this kiosk, and then you actually touched the screen, and you could select whether or not you needed a sweater or a shirt. And I, of course, got a French sailor's outfit, which I never would ever in a million years wear. And I had my hat on, and I had my bow tie on. It was very, very funny. And you could walk around with it. It's just what today, it's what it's all about, folks. And what it is that today you have to think outside the box. It's not the way it used to be. You just can't go on the radio or on the TV or in the newspapers and just spout out what it is that you want, that you have to give to your potential customers, and build it and they will come. It's much more complicated than this. And so in a few weeks, when I start talking about the Super Bowl ads and what a bunch of nonsense that is about, if I hear one more time about how many eyeballs see a Super Bowl ad, and I have to, after they tell me that, and I said, well, how many times does those eyeballs have to see something until they, in fact, buy the product? That's a whole different, you know, I don't want to say I get tired of it, because you should never say you get tired of anything. But anyway, that's a little bit about what we'll be talking about in the next few weeks about the Super Bowl. So we got that. So this Cisco Style Me, be prepared to see that in the American market. They were rolling it out this weekend at the trade show. At their trade show, Cisco was, and they're very popular in England, so be prepared for that. So it's Cisco Style Me, and I'd like to thank Alicia for inviting me to that, and it was very serendipitous. I didn't even know I was going to talk about it. I was just, as I said, I was rolling my eyes. I said, what am I doing here on a Sunday night? And it was the people and the product were just wonderful. So anyway, you're listening to Brand Talk. The radio station is WVOX, 1460 on your AM dial. And we'd love to hear from you, because that's what we do here at Brand Talk. We take calls, 914-636-0110. Or what about doc@brandtalkradio.com if you want to email me. And I am the email station holder. I am manning the station, and I should say the email station, because we have Chris who is we have Chris. We do have Chris. Okay. I'm sorry. Anyway, Chris is always keeps me on my toes, as he got up on his. But anyway, we got a lot to talk about, and I haven't even started, and I have a whole list of other things that I want to talk about. I want to talk about Paula Deen and a diabetes scare. I want to talk about pop culture, high culture, low culture, any culture, George Clooney and Michael B. Black. I got all these things I want to talk about, and I haven't even gotten to my winner and loser of the week that I'm sure should get people yelling, screaming, and carrying on, because it's political. And we have a brand new Did You Know That? Which, if you're visiting for the first time, it's kind of like a Paul Harvey-ish kind of it's my take on what Paul Harvey would do if he was a marketing guy, you know, and it's a cross between that and Johnny Carson's I Did Not Know That, you know. So it's those kinds of things. And that's what we want to be different here, unique. Anyway, but we can also be unique by you calling in at 914-636-0110. So let's get to the winner. And the winner this week, I said, was Mitt Romney. And remember, we're talking about we got plenty of time to talk about the election. We'll give fair amount of time to the president and his brand and the wonderful marketing efforts that the president did to get elected. Just absolutely one of the best marketing campaigns and strategies I've ever seen. And we're going to see whether or not the Republicans can, in fact, do something similar this time around. And we'll talk about that. And by the way, before I start with this political stuff, I might have circled around, and I want to make myself clear here. I am not endorsing a particular candidate. What I'm trying to do is use the discipline and science of marketing and branding to help understand whether or not the probability of particular candidates will in fact be successful or not. So, for example, people scream and yell and tell me that negative ads are effective. And my response is, you are correct. Negative ads work in politics. They generally do not work in the consumer and the consumer end, or the product end, or the surface end of business. But in politics, negative advertising work. But negative candidates or negative people don't work. There seems to be a difference between an ad, which is non-living, and one could say, I did not know that, or I did not do that, as opposed to a person actually saying a negative thing. So that from a marketing point of view, you should always make the distinction between the ad and the candidate. And that is something that very, very few people, especially my colleagues in the media, because they're not marketing people, they're political people, and they don't make that the differentiation, and it's extremely important. So remember the difference between the negative ads and negative candidates. Negative candidates you should never be. You should probably always, I shouldn't say this, but for an effective, if you're losing, what you have to do is you have to, it's the playbook. You have to get into negative advertising. And the problem is that it does work. So from a pure objective, not a moral situation, but from an objective situation, those are the laws. So let's get to the winner. Okay, folks, despite withering attacks from the other GOP contenders, Mitt Romney emerged victorious from New Hampshire and Iowa, something no other Republican candidate other than the presidential incumbent has done in many decades. Why is Mitt doing so well despite the fact that he's, let's face, boring? Because there is absolutely nothing wrong with boring. In fact, boring is good. After years of war, economic dislocation, and a series of controversial presidents, America is ready for boring. Why? Boring means competent, dependable, and predictable. Boring means smart and sound. When the banks began to teeter from their hypothropic derivatives binge over 3 years ago, I argued that a return to the boring roots made sense for these brands. Boring is politically mature. Mature countries like mature companies and mature brands typically fare best with mature leaders. Eisenhower presided over what was arguably a terrific decade for America, even as exciting in one respect, but he himself wasn't exciting. People liked Ike, but they didn't swoon for him. He didn't electrify crowds. He assured them. Ike, a Republican, built a national highway system, which created the infrastructure for a prolonged post-war boom that we are still benefiting from though it might not seem that way. Like all good government, as with all solid, boring things, and underpins our prosperity. And since and still not convinced by the virtue of boring? Well, look at the third world. The so-called exciting political figures have usually been the ones who have driven their countries to the ground. Failed nations and banana republics are filled with the brim, with exciting politicos who promise great things but deliver only woe to the masses. When Italy needed to assure creditors, they showed the flamboyant Berlusconi the door and welcomed Mario Monti, the paragon of boring. The economist and commentator Larry Kudrow recently wrote that it might be that Romney's Bain capital experience is exactly what U.S. government Inc. needs today. I couldn't agree more. Romney's brand is that of the CEO. He's the guy you turn to when you want to turn things around without turning things upside down. If he's smart, which he is, top 5% at Harvard Business School, that has to count to something, you'll see him stick to those core messages that highlight his experience at turnaround and solid management, turning the Olympic Committee deficit into a surplus. Boring has another virtue. It sticks to the essentials and repeats them until they start sinking in. And that's what we're seeing with Romney. His consistency reminds the nation that there is something consistent in our system and our nation's worth standing for, no matter how tumultuous the times. Let Newt Gingrich turn his back on the value of capitalism to score a few points against Romney by calling him a vulture. Romney won't do the same for passing political gain. Boring simply doesn't do this. Besides, he can't afford, not since who honestly believes that America will ever elect a president whose first name brings to mind an ingredient in a witch's cauldron. Boring means Romney will repeat the virtues of capitalism, even if speaking those virtues might at first not please the crowd, much like the criticized corporations are people to line. After all, he was right then, and he was right when he expands on them, and in any case was only echoing the inspiring words of one of the founders of the modern venture capital, Georges Doriot, who said, "The study of a company is not an autopsy. It is the study of men's hopes and aspirations." Yes, boring means sticking to something until the world recognizes the value in it and follows. Boring means opting to be the servant of the people rather than the king. George Washington was that kind of boring, and that kind of boring could mean some pretty exciting things for America. And if you want to read that, it is also on the Daily Caller. So go to dailycaller.com, and in the opinion page, you will, in fact, see that. And how do you feel about boring and whether or not Mitt Romney is boring or not? 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. You're listening to WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. And now let me just say this. What I just said, I would like you to think of it if you are a Democrat or if you are a Republican. Don't think of it in terms of Democrat and Republican. Think of it in terms of independent voter. How is the Romney brand being perceived by that group? And that's a better idea of what I'm trying to do in my analysis here. And that is trying to come up with the brand characteristics that are going to attract the most number of people so that the sale can in fact be made. So that's what, like I said, I'd love to hear from you, whether or not you agree with me or not, 914-636-0110. And the loser, I think, I talked about them once before. I'll talk about them again. And if you like these winners and losers, you can visit my on my website, brandtalkradio.com, brandtalkradio.com, and go to the winner or loser page. And it's going to be Standard & Poor's. And this time, they went after France. And, you know, and they went after Austria. I mean, it's just not smart, once again, to build your brand on the backs of somebody else's brand. And I just don't think that this is gonna bode well for them. And anyway, I think that it's just a matter of time when the financial community will in fact lose all respect for all of the present rating agencies, because I think Standard & Poor's is one, and Moody's is another one that has. That some folks talk about that whole group, that rating agencies, that common brand is having serious problems these days because of course because of what they did with in 2008, huh? Giving those junk bonds favorable ratings. So that's something that they're going to have to overcome, and by the way, they can overcome it. It's just going to be a little bit painful, and they're going to have to get their act together, and that's it. So there you have it, our brand winner and losers of the week. So like I said, I love to hear from you at 914-636-0110. And now we're coming to the perennial crowd favorite, Did You Know That?, where I bring little-known facts or brought to center straight for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continually education. And now, Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, Did You Know That? Do you celebrate Chester Greenwood Day? My guess is that you don't, unless you live in Farmington, Maine. That's the town where Chester Greenwood spent his life making a difference and even changing the world. In fact, I guarantee that once in your life, you won a Greenwood innovation. Chester was a high school dropout, but his inventive mind never stopped ticking. Have you ever seen a box of matches with an advertisement on it? That's Chester. Or used a steel tooth rake? You've got Chester to thank. He even introduced the telephone to his small town. But it was what he did when he was only 15 that made him rich. The year was 1873, and Chester was skating on a local pond. Bending down to tie his skates in frigid conditions, his ears began to freeze. Eureka! He had a great idea. At home later, Chester asked his grandmother to sew fur on loops of wire. 4 years on, and after replacing the wire loops with a steel band, he received patent number 188292. But Chester wasn't done yet. He opened a factory to produce a version of his invention, and in World War I, made a fortune selling them to the U.S. Army. The invention? You guessed it. The earmuff. And it was the earmuff and Chester's determination and follow-through that led to all ear protection against both cold and sound that we have today. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
We are back, where you're listening to WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and this is Brand Talk. How did you like that? We'd love to hear from you. Whether or not you like it or you didn't, I bet you didn't know about the earmuffs. I'm wearing some earmuffs, even though it's on my ear. I was hooked to my ear. It's not over my head because I wear a hat. And if you're if you could see me, if you're streaming the show, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's on the side. And it took about a good 2 or 3 hours to find these kind of earmuffs. But anyway, 914-636-0110, VOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial. This is Dr. John Tantillo, and we just love to hear from you. Well, Greenwood's story is like so many inventors and reminds us about tirelessness. If you really want to achieve something, you've got to ask yourself, is it the lack of an idea that's stopping me, or is it the lack of energy, consistency, and drive? Frankly, often it is the latter. It wasn't that Greenwood was necessarily a genius, but what he did have was drive. And you see that with most inventors and others who accomplish things, this is what they have, drive. They have a problem that they want to solve, a challenge they want to tackle, some question they need to answer, and then they don't stop until they've done it. And really, that's the point. A lot of things could make you stop trying, but if you want to get there in the end, if you really want to succeed, you must keep on trying. It's not so much about believing in yourself, as much as it is finding that curiosity in the world around you, finding something worth doing, and then not stopping until you do. There's nothing like finding the way to meet a need with a great idea. Fit the puzzle piece in the open space, and everything falls into place. And you're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and once again, give us a email, doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. So as I said, there are a lot of things that were, you know, that were going on this week, and one thing was this Paula Deen. I don't know if you've been keeping watch on this, but I'm somewhat of a foodie. I'm a reform foodie. I mean, I just loved all the wrong foods in the world to eat. And Paula Deen was the queen of the fried food and the bad food to eat. And just this week, she announced, because she has known for, and this isn't too smart, because it's now coming out that she has known for years that she was a diabetic. And so, you know, they're all getting on the bandwagon here. And I just think that there's a very easy way to solve this problem for Ms. Deen, and basically said that, say something like, hey, I made a mistake. I should have come clean. I should have been a little bit more sensitive to my clients. And now that I have this problem, I am going to adjust. I will do two things. I will give the old version of the way I prepared food, and then the healthy alternative. And gee whiz. It's called a rebranding of herself or repositioning of herself. I don't see this is a real big problem. But what do I know? I'm only a branding guy. I'm just being funny, or maybe I'm not being so funny. And who is this guy that's got this kind of an attitude? Well, it's Dr. John Tantillo, and you're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. So another thing that I've been so busy. I've been going to too many restaurants, and the problem with going to too many restaurants is I'm not able to lose the weight
And, you know, I'm not supposed to talk about losing weight because people don't really want to hear about your problems. But anyway, and then they don't want to hear your health problems, but I don't care. I just got to thank my team at the New York Presbyterian Cardiac Center. I hope I said that right. That are helping me with my exercising and making me a healthier person. And that's Tina, Angie, and of course my trainer Andrew. And I hope they're listening. I told them I was going to mention them, but last week they couldn't get reception. They didn't have the radio, but now they have the radio, so they'll be listening. So I just wanted to mention that. So there, and I won't talk about my health anymore. And those meatballs last night were unbelievable. Oh, the best meatballs in New York City. Okay, be that as it may. So as I was saying, I was at dinner with this 25-year-old violin virtuoso, and we were talking about music. He's a violinist, and he only plays classical music. And we were getting into this whole thing about pop culture. And I hate the expression pop culture. I think that's terribly effete, elitist, and it shouldn't be. I think what you should say is that there should be culture and that there should be high culture. And high culture are the classics and all of that sort of thing. And culture is Madonna and Lady Gaga and everything else. And let's put an end to this silliness of pop culture, and let's call it culture or high culture. And I think that's a much better way. And look at this. The time is almost here. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Brady. Pipeline rejected. President Obama denying an application for a new oil pipeline from Canada to Texas, and he's blaming Republicans in Congress for a deadline that was added as part of the payroll tax cut extension, saying the bill didn't allow enough time to finish additional reviews.
The Obama administration wanted to give some more time so that the pipeline could potentially be rerouted so that it wouldn't affect a particular...